Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Today, we're podcasting on site from the Maritana Restaurant private dining room at the crown jewel of Florida's Gulf Coast, the one, the only Pink Palace, the legendary Don Cesar Hotel in St. Pete Beach. So this is the place to be. It's a must-go destination for spring and summer 2023. This beautiful property sits on the beach, people, and you're going to love it. Come enjoy the food, cocktails, and all the amenities you would expect from a world-class hotel. Look them up at doncesar.com. And a giant thanks to Chef Alex Reyes and team for allowing us to record on property. Listen, also, gang, chefs, people out there who buy stuff, go to thewalkintalk.com and find Peninsula Food Service and Molina International Trading. For olive oils, of course, Cahaba Club, Herbal Outpost, 813 Tequila, and so much more. We got Hive. There's other things. You go check them out. Ibis Images as well with John Hernandez. He is the photographer extraordinaire. Check him out. Jeffrey Schlissel, how the hell are you today?
Awesome, because we're here.
Yes, we are here. True story.
At the Pink Palace.
The Pink Palace, indeed. The crown jewel, if you will.
Of the Gulf Coast.
Of the Gulf Coast. All right. So we're going to be talking barbecue today. All right.
This is John's idea
that Mr. Producer John,
he has a love affair. Let's call it with barbecue.
I was just going to say affinity, but yeah. You want to take it.
Yeah. I'm going to go there. We're in the Pink Palace. You got to say it's a love affair.
Okay.
True story.
It is. All right. There you go. See? Okay. All right. So we're talking. So by the way, Chef Jeffrey, I mean, you're a butcher by trade, I guess you can say.
It's, again, a love affair.
Right.
With it, yep.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the butcher's life is your mistress.
Yes.
All right. So with that said, so let's barbecue. What are we talking about? I mean, what's the allure of barbecue, right? Is it the juicy pulled pork, or is it the Is it the pork belly? Is it the barbecue sauce? Like all those different things. What's the allure?
There's so much to it. I mean, and John can probably testify to this as well, because every person does something differently, whether it be, you know, in Tennessee, they do their own, and there's mustards more in the Carolinas, and then there's molasses and ketchup base for the Kansas and Kentucky. In Texas, they don't have sauces. You know, Aaron Franklin, we talk about him a lot, you know, Franklin Barbecue.
Vinegar.
Yeah, there's salt, pepper, usually just on the brisket itself. And then you have Alabama, who has this right from out of left field. It's this white sauce that's barbecue, and it's like, what? I think there's, for me, why I gravitated to it as much as I did, and I don't know if this is what's true for John, but for me, it's primal. As the butcher and someone who likes to hunt and show respect to the animal, I think there's nothing more rewarding than to put that animal on a spit and then cooking it over a long period of time, because there's a lot of downtime when you're smoking the product. So there's not that much to do besides drink and sitting around and talk. And it dates back, if you really want to look at it, it dates back to the Indians that are native to Puerto Rico. That's where we get barbacoa. That's the word we get barbecue from. I mean, but it goes actually from that, you go from what slaves were doing, and it's what they were serving the people in the house.
But dude, you're talking about a flame.
Yeah. Simplicity.
And meat.
Simplicity.
Right? So that goes back to the beginnings.
Definitely. Right? When we started, first were introduced to fire and how we were, my God, this is Millard.
Like, you're talking about the beginnings of time, mm-hmm. almost, right? So with that said, like, I love looking at a juicy piece of meat, and it's just like, wow. And you put like this barbecue sauce, whatever it is that you're using, right, to actually highlight that piece of meat, and the smell, the glisten, all of it makes me just
bark.
Yeah, trying to eat the bark.
So what you just mentioned is exactly like when you look at cooking and the primal aspect of it and the smoke, right? You said the product is the star. For me, the product is definitely the star. The smoke is the supporting actor. The sauce is the supporting actor. The rub is a supporting actor. I think the product has to speak volumes for itself. When you have a really, if the farmer took care of the animal and gave you that product, and Nicole Cruz, it's another one we could talk about, or Jan down there in Sebring, any of our farmers, you know they have the affinity for their love and the passion for the animal. You're going to showcase that animal because that's what you're paying for, not the sauce, not the smoke, not the barbecue, you know, the rub. And I think you have to do a good enough job on it. And John, I mean, you can chime in anytime. What's your take on it?
I think if you're doing a really good job on your barbecue and your smoke, you don't even need the sauce.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
I won't disagree. I mean, obviously, you can get away without if it's done right.
Yeah, I think most of the times, a lot of times, some people, you know, when they do barbecue, they can overdo it, and then you do need the sauce.
Absolutely.
To add, I think the sauce should complement it. Again, supporting actor role. Yep. Like, what are some of your favorite? We were talking off in the green room. What's your favorite stuff here in town?
In town, out by me, my favorite smoke and ox out in Winter Haven. In Tampa, I love Mighty Quinn's. Is really good.
I heard about
you guys got a few.
Yeah, you were talking about the one for the Cuban chef,
the brisket shop.
Yeah, I got to try that.
Chef, Chef Danny, man, it's good.
I heard the croquetas.
Everything's good. Yeah. Everything, literally everything. But like when you go out in the back and you look at his
you're doing that hand motion now.
Bro, when he opens that thing, mm-hmm. and you see
it's called a smoker.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
And when you see 20 beautiful pieces of brisket just on that thing, and it's smoking away, and it's oh my God. It's
when you pull up to a place and you smell the smoke.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother.
We gotta go to the brisket shop. I am not even.
What time they? What?
So they're only
closed.
They got it. Well, see, they got it.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right?
No. They have a little bit of a different sort of schedule, right?
Well, because they got to get their poop together because I need to go.
So, well, listen, the chef isn't like he's a high level chef, okay? I'm going to give you the basic story. He's a high level chef. He's like, you know what? I want to do something a little bit different, and that he actually sells. Grills. That's what he does. Mm. Like it's a place where you buy grills,
but he opens, I think, two times a week. And I don't remember what the days are right off the top of my head, but he opens like twice a week. And in that,
Rich,
period,
can you research that real quick when they open the brisket?
Brisket shop, yeah.
Yeah, what was it, Thursday? There we go. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
There you go. So it's a small window, and it's totally worth it. It is amazing.
I don't know if you guys ever tried First Choice. My nephew took me there when I first came to this side of the coast. I will tell you right now, their side, the pasta salad they have there, I don't know what they do, but that thing is like crack. Their side pasta salad is incredible. And there's some other things I'm trying there, but
so chef is a brisket shop. He's Cuban,
right?
And so he has like a lot of the, you know, croquetas and a bunch of stuff on there, man. It is phenomenal.
He's right off Armenian, right?
Yeah, he's over there.
I know he's by the Humane Society because I had to go drop my dog stuff over there, and yeah.
What's the specialty? Brisket, obviously, right?
Yeah, brisket's the big deal.
I mean, every location might have something different, right?
That's first thing I ask when I walk into a new place. What's your special? What do you do the best? Because it's going to be probably pulled pork or brisket, right?
Generally speaking. And
ribs, of course, but even ribs. You got pork ribs. You got
beef ribs.
Beef ribs. They're all done different.
Yeah, definitely.
I like ribs, but I think ribs are good. It's a good side. I don't want to just eat a whole rack of it. I want the pulled pork.
Yeah, I'm smiling. I'm smiling because I'm that dude that does not eat ribs out.
Right.
Because it's just so messy.
It's too much. Yeah. No,
no, it's messy. I don't want people to look at it because I will eat and devour and like, I'll be like the Tasmanian devil. Stuff will be flying all over. Yeah. Barbecue sauce will be all the way up on my forehead.
Do you know who has good barbecue sauce though? That from, you know,
Tillman's
good. Well, sure. I was going somewhere else with this first. But like where we're all from is Flanagan's. Flanagan's used to have like really great ribs. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not the same as it used to be.
They're good.
Still?
Flanagan's is good, I think. That's not real barbecue.
But they don't smoke. They use the braise, the 3-2-1 on the braise.
Yeah, I'm talking about that.
There's grilling and then right. Barbecue. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I was just going for the actual
the sauce
part.
The sauce,
yeah.
Well, I know somebody who has really good sauce.
That's your Tillman boy, right?
Well, Tillman's is really good, and I know somebody else who has really good sauce.
Who?
Might be the Schlichermeister.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, listen, anything this guy makes is fantastic.
Well, not any. I appreciate that, but not everything. I do some flops. I definitely do flops. But I will tell you that
I don't know what to say to that.
The first one we're launching on the sauces that I've been talking with the co-packer.
The old fashioned?
Yeah, the old fashioned. That's the first one we're rolling out. So
yeah, that was delicious.
Yeah, it's gonna have bourbon. I made sure he had bourbon. We've been going back and forth and doing a tangerine juice. So it's gonna be a Florida, you know, definitely a Florida local sauce.
Nice.
But it's not gonna be Texas. It's nothing like that. You guys have had it. So, you know, it's something that it's Floridian. So it's the essence of barbacoa. And that's the difference between my barbecue and what other people do. I don't try to emulate something else. I do what Florida is known for.
Hey, look, I don't want any trouble. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to eat the barbecue from any state.
Well, I will too, because I want to, you know, find out what that state is known for. Obviously, I want to see what the ingredients. I also want to see the passion the chef has for it, or the pitmaster for that matter.
I'm typically never like you go to North Carolina. It's going to be awesome. You go to Texas. It's going to be awesome. Like really, there's where do you go that it's going to be like not good unless they just do a bad job, right? I mean.
I don't think Florida's always been good.
No, Florida's not.
There's some really great places now, but I don't think they were always that.
I mean, think about where we're from. You have got the one on US 1 on Broward Boulevard.
You're talking about
the pig?
No.
Georgia pig?
No.
They closed that, you know.
I know they did. That was sad. They did a great pulled pork.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about US 1 and Broward
Georgia
Boulevard.
Pig is still open?
No, 441.
Yeah.
Georgia Pig's still open.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Rich, Google it.
Or they sold it.
No, Tom Jenkins.
Tom Jenkins.
Yeah, right. Tom Jenkins. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, there's another one that's not open on Sunday.
Tom Jenkins?
They are not. Oh,
well, back in the day, I worked for somebody at a place called Ranieri's over on University in Pine Island. It was a world cuisine restaurant. And Cleve Brown used to go out for lunch in different places. He grew up in New York. Loved the soul food atmosphere. He took me to Ruby and Jean's in Carroll City. And oh my God, one of the mamas passed away and they ended up closing. But my God, you want to talk some of the best soul food barbecue in Miami, bar none. That's what really introduced me to collards and cornbread and chicklins and all
Southern
that.
Steaks.
Yeah, Southern. I mean, that to me was the essence of Florida barbecue to
what
me.
What is the best barbecue you've ever had?
Aaron Franklin.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so.
I waited 5 hours in line for that.
Yeah, and you know, Snow's, we were talking about off camera, that's another bucket list. I've been up to, I was up in Boston, and everybody's like, because I work for a major company, and we do food shows, and we all ended up going to a barbecue place, and it was award-winning, and we ended up going to the Boston, and I'm like, what? Boston's not known for that. They're known for, like, seafood and stuff. They did actually a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a guy in New York, in Brooklyn, who's doing kosher barbecue.
Mighty Quinn's in Tampa is from
New York. Yeah. So
it's crazy.
People gravitate to things and, you know, they put their own spins on things. I mean, the guy from Cuba, I mean, he's a Cuban chef for what's it called? The brisket shop.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to have his own spins.
Kosher barbecue.
Kosher.
You know, it's funny that all right. So again, favorite. Are you looking for the Georgia type? The North Carolina type, Texas type, like what? I mean,
I want difference. I want difference. I don't want like people in Florida to make Texas. I'm the type of dude that I'll fly to Texas to have Texas barbecue. That's my kind
of Texas barbecue anywhere.
Huh?
I'll have Texas barbecue anywhere.
But here's the thing: we can't emulate. Like I know when being that consultant, I was guys would come from New York and be like, "We're going to open this here." No, it's not going to work because the demographic or the food quality, it's not going to be the same that you can get when you're back where you're from. And a lot of times you see that you can't get certain woods down here in South Florida that I would want, or in the West Coast of Florida. I love apple, I love cherry, and I love pecan. I cannot find. I mean,
Franklin's uses post oak.
I know he does. Trust me, I know. But he's also been doing it how long?
Yeah.
He also the people cut just for him. And we're talking about barbecue. We're forgetting about one person that led me on my journey for bacon, and that's Binton Farm. Mm-hmm. You can't get better bacon than Binton's. He just does an amazing, Alan Binton. I was trying to figure his name out. Japanese immigrant. His father had it. He took it over. And listen, anybody that's anyone that has bacon on their menu, that's a, you know, think of a top rated chef. This dude's got their number.
Didn't barbecue start in the United States after the Vietnam War? The people brought back the grills but that was kind of something they did over there and they brought it.
Not really. I mean, it depends on the area you're talking about of the world, because most, like you're talking here in South Florida, you look at the barbacoas, so the Puerto Rican and the Indian people of Latin America. You look at the slave trade and people, you know, how that came about. Most of the products we see, corn, obviously is Mexican, but you look at rice, that's West Coast of Africa. And a lot of times you're seeing a lot of the barbecue that we're seeing, it's from West Coast of Africa. So that's where, if you really go back in history of barbecue, that's where we're seeing that. That's where they had the ability to slaughter the animal, do what they needed to do, because that's what they were given at that time period from their quote unquote master, the person who owned the land. So that's where you see that from. But again, the gravitation of like what's mustard, where that come in for the vinegar based or the mustard based or the ketchup and molasses based, that's all, you know, like why we don't speak. Well, people think I have an accent, but people from Alabama have an accent. People from New York have that accent. It's all how it broke up in the culinary timeline. Let's put it that way. But you can look at it too. Shawarma is another form of barbecue, which is gyros. And that was started by the Bedouins, which then gravitated, you know, we talked about Jason. The Turks say it's the doner. The Greeks say it's the gyro. And it's who started it. Well, they can fight that out, but it's still open pit. Francis Millman, I don't know if you know that chef. Richard, you know who Francis Millman is? Anybody that's anything dealing with open fire, this guy has 30 restaurants around the world. He's in Argentina. The dude is amazing. Mm-hmm. He has 7 different ways of doing barbecue.
So for me, barbecue is smoke, indirect heat, smoke. If it's open fire, it's grilling.
Mm-hmm. 100%. infrared, radiant, you know, heat. It's that's what it is. And then you have the different types of smoke, right? The smokers.
Right.
You have a bullet smoker. You have the pellet smoker, which I'm, you know, not a big fan of. I'm one that likes to be the purest because I'm an idiot.
I don't disagree with that. It's cheating. But if you're not doing it professionally like you are, you know, it's a great solution for the home guy.
Oh, 100%. I mean, set it and forget it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I could do that. Especially, what does the brisket take you to cook?
Depends on the size of it and everything. So you're looking at, what, 45 minutes to an hour per pound?
Mm-hmm. So you could go up to 10 to 14 hours.
Absolutely.
And that's, when you're doing that with the smoker I have, you're not sleeping.
Yeah, you're going to man that fire.
You definitely have to man that fire. There's a whole, and again, Carl asked this earlier, like what made me gravitate to it? I love the challenge of what's going to light up. Is the wood going to give me a problem today? Is it the air going to give me a problem today? You know, it's that challenge that you can't set it and forget it. And one of the things that Aaron Franklin did, he wrote like when he was developing, he wrote down every single smoke he's ever done and what the conditions were. So when he had the same conditions or similar conditions, he's like, oh, I go back to the notes. And I kind of did that too. I geeked out on it. I still do that to this day. Every smoke I do.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
You ever use the meter thermometers?
Yeah.
You can actually profile your cook. So you can actually take notes in the app.
Yeah. And that's a great thing for people, especially if you're first starting out. Mm-hmm. But I don't think barbecue is just meats, proteins.
True.
You know, and this is a great segue into the plant-based.
Yep.
And Austin this year, I've actually started to, I was actually at CaterSource, like I mentioned in the last podcast, and CaterSource, they app opened it up for, you know, people to do, presentations. So I felt what better way to go to Austin and then instead of throwing barbecue, nice. I'm going to do plant-based barbecue.
I like it.
So I'll be doing something different, that way, but I'm also known more for my plant-based barbecue than I am my protein barbecue.
That's unique.
Definitely. But again, it's all playing with the time and temperature.
Actually,
you have a friend?
I do. strangely enough, I don't know. John, if you could, if we can get Matty Fisher patched in.
The good old Matty Fisher.
Yeah. So you probably, if you shut the earpiece thing. We don't hear
it. Oh, no, but it makes it more it sounds like a radio show.
It kind of is.
Well, yeah, a podcast.
Right, a podcast thing.
Watch,
right.
She doesn't answer.
Hello.
Oh, she answered.
She totally answered. Hey, Matty Fisher, you're live on the Walk and Talk podcast. Thanks for calling in. No, kidding. So you are on the show right now, Matty Fisher, from John Green Logistics. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. It's my first time.
I'm a first time, long time. That's awesome. It's been a long time, Matty.
103 She, Paul Castronova just came in the door right now.
Right. Say hi to Castro for me. Will do. Okay. That's the ending of the Paul Castronova show from a million years ago. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. Okay, Matty, listen. So we are talking barbecue, and somebody brought up plant-based barbecue. And I understand that you actually have some sandwich that you push to someone and they're going to put it on their menu. Talk about it.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Yeah, that's right. In a vegan pulled pork barbecue sandwich. And this one I use, a lot of people use the jackfruit, and you can actually buy them at stores. They're already ready and they have that barbecue flavor. I personally think that it tastes disgusting. So
tell us how you really feel about it, though. Don't hold back.
Right.
So I found another alternative, and it is artichoke hearts. And you make a homemade vegan like coleslaw, put some pickles on there. It's fire.
Now, how did you come up with that?
Are you vegan?
Well, I'm like plant-based. I'm like 80% plant-based.
So you're at least 20% cool then, is what you're saying.
We call that meatitarians.
I don't eat red meat, but I'll have like chicken or fish every once in a while.
Okay.
So what I do. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
When did you give up the beef?
Like 2020. COVID. Never looked back.
Okay. And
I feel like it would like literally make me sick though now if I had like red meat. So.
Or.
Probably would.
Or it would make you so happy. It could be one or the other.
Well, if a certain time period, you have certain enzymes that break down certain foods. And when you don't have that food for a certain amount of time, you lose the enzyme to break down that food. So you can become sick.
Right.
And that's why somebody who has been vegan for X amount of time, they should reintroduce things slowly so that the body can then produce that enzyme to break it down.
That makes sense.
So yeah, she might not like that. Just saying.
That's why. And that's exactly. See what you just said, for mm-hmm. health reasons. That's why I don't give up the red meat. You know what I mean? I don't want to lose the enzymes. And I would hate to go out there and eat like 7 pounds of beef.
Well, no, you're looking at it the other way too. You're looking at it that the cows are adding to the ozone layer, the depletion of it. So you're taking care of that while the vegans are you eating the solution.
Yes.
I got that. I see the two sides
it's
of the coin.
It's for the environment.
I understand wholeheartedly.
100%. Yeah, I like it. Oh my goodness, Maddie Fisher. So, so now you're gonna be? Are you gonna be making like all sorts of menu items now? Is that what you're doing, Maddie? Talk to me. Tell me the truth.
No, well, he's actually the pastor of my church, and he wanted to open up a restaurant and then 100% give back the proceeds to the community. And okay. I had recently just became plant based, and I'm like, I absolutely love it. I love cooking. I love being in the kitchen. And I'm all about helping somebody else. So I made him like 10 like little mini sliders. They're going to sell it as a big sandwich, but I brought it over to the church and had him try it. And he absolutely loved it. Some of them I put jalapenos on to make it spicy. And he said, I'm putting this on the menu.
Is he going to call it the Maddie Fisher?
Their restaurant should be open soon.
Is he going to call it the Fisher sandwich?
It's like a surf like theme restaurant. So he's going to call it the Poser because it's really not
Pauly
barbecue.
Shore.
I love it. That's so 80s.
Yeah, I think Poser is like is it a surfing? I don't know.
It's
what
a California skateboarder.
BMX. Yeah, surf, skater, yeah.
It falls in line with all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we give a thumbs up on that.
Yeah, so it'll be called the Poser.
I think that's a terrific name.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, so we're excited about it.
So it was barbecue in the sense that you didn't smoke it, but you then used barbecue sauce, correct? Or did you like?
Yes, you can make your own like vegan barbecue sauce. And then basically you just simmer it in your like cast iron skillet for a long time. And it literally looks like pulled pork.
I mean, you sent the picture. I saw it and it looks yum. I got to tell you.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fire. I'll make it for you guys one day.
It's fire. Not beautiful. Fire,
but it's not Poser.
Or fire. You can come fire. To the restaurant. Listen, you can come to the restaurant.
What? Where is the restaurant?
You can do a podcast there.
What's they?
It's
do?
In Titusville. Where we're
Titusville.
Based
that's right.
Oh.
That's right. You know, I ask every time. Every time I ask, don't hold it against me.
Thanks a lot. Carl.
That's a 321 area code, right?
Yeah, Countdown County.
Countdown County. I didn't know there
Cape
was
Cape Canaveral. Yeah.
Right.
That's
okay. Makes sense. 3-2.
That's how they did it.
This is, and I'm a native here.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 3-2-1.
I'm a native Floridian. And I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. You have to come over for a launch and some lunch.
I was just going to say
launch and a lunch. Lunch.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
You beat me to it. All right. I'm down for that.
Yeah. Just a quick, trip.
I'll have to send her some of my recipes to test them out since she's a plant-based.
I love it. Yeah. Hey, you know what, Maddie, too, since you're on the phone, why should somebody contact John Green Logistics, by the way?
Oh, this is great. Thanks for the plug.
You're welcome. I wouldn't do you like that, Maddie.
That's what we do.
Well, you can also follow my plant-based Instagram, and that has, I'm a type 1 diabetic, so it's called at plant-based pancreas. So I have a bunch of diabetes stuff on there, sharing that. And then, of course, recipes that I've made failed at.
John's already heading there to his Instagram account. His phone is now in his hands, and he's going to your Instagram account right now.
Yes, he's
cool.
Check
it out. And then I am the marketing manager for John Green Logistics and Green Transport Company. We've been in business for, this is our 61st year in business, family owned and operated still. So we ship 80-90% fresh produce. Started off shipping oranges out of the orange groves here, and we've been doing it ever since. Also, if you're looking for shipping for LTL produce in Florida, hit me up, because I've got it for you, and I know people don't.
So yeah, you were talking about the LTLs before, and what you're looking for like you have something happening right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm shipping lettuce right now for a customer of mine. He's Florida-based as well. It's called Green Life Farms down in Lake Worth, Florida. And we do some LTL around Florida and up into Louisiana. And I've got some really great trucks that I'm using, really great guys, carriers. So if you're looking to put together some LTL or you need help, definitely call me. I can help you out with that and get you a good rate.
Excellent. And I can tell you that, I've known Maddie now for a little bit. You're good people, and your company's good, and it is good.
John, can you share her Instagram account with me when just text
I
over?
I sure can.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I want to follow you too as well.
Excellent. Maddie Fisher, I am going to give you a holler a little bit later when we're finished. And, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show for the first time.
Oh yeah!
Thanks for having me on. Keep up the good work, boys.
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah, be sure to like and share. Follow. All right. Thanks, Maddie.
Bye, guys.
All right. This one's a quickie. We kind of got in the barbecue. Man, we need to do some barbecue, brother. We got to do this. What are we talking about?
John needs to come to the house. We got to turn the smoker on and just have a field day at the house and take pictures.
Great. Yeah.
Seriously.
I'm ready for that now.
We can do it tomorrow.
You know what I'm saying?
It's Good Friday.
Oh my goodness.
I got bourbon.
Me too, always. All right, listen, good talk. Good talk. John, thank you. I mean, look, Richard's here. Jeffrey, appreciate you all hanging out. Jeffrey's always been. Maddie Fisher.
Awesome.
You go, girl. Plant-based rocks. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving. your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.